Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Good Thursday morning, and welcome to the month of December. And here at 6 a.m., our first look now for you at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still at AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the former Seminole County tax collector is about to find out how long he'll be behind bars. More in 1 minute.
Yep, that's Joel Greenberg. What is justice for Greenberg? You be the judge. Let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg will find out this morning how long he'll spend in prison. Greenberg is being sentenced at the federal courthouse in Orlando after pleading guilty to 6 charges, including child sex trafficking, ID theft, stalking, and wire fraud. Prosecutors are requesting a sentence of 9 to 11 years in prison, but attorney David R. Baer, who represents a Greenberg stalking victim, tells Fox 35 that's not enough.
Here you have one charge, the child sex trafficking, which is supposed to have a minimum mandatory of 10 years. And if Joel in total is sentenced to 10 years, then that means he basically got away with the other crimes for free.
During a hearing yesterday, U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell hinted he may be ready to impose a more severe sentence than what prosecutors requested. A man accused of killing his mother in Osceola County is showing no remorse. The sheriff's office says that 21-year-old Matthew Sisley confessed to stabbing the woman to death on Tuesday at a home near Myrtle Oak Lane and Oak Hill Trail. Sheriff Marcos Lopez says Sisley told investigators he'd kill his mother again because, in his words, she never pushed me to be a man. Casey Anthony, the woman acquitted in Orlando in 2011 of killing her 2-year-old daughter, is speaking out about the case in a new documentary series. In 2008, Kaylee Anthony's skeletal remains were found with a blanket inside a laundry bag in a wooded area near the Anthony family's house. Casey Anthony was charged with first-degree murder and pleaded not guilty.
I've had years of therapy, and I'm trying to analyze my own behavior and explain my own behaviors. All of this is a reaction to trauma.
The series called Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies, is now streaming on Peacock. On Capitol Hill, incoming House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is honoring House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
An extraordinary speaker for the ages, who has delivered so much for so many over such a significant period of time.
Jeffries will succeed Pelosi when the new Congress convenes in January. He will be the first Black Party leader in either chamber of Congress. And two division rivals fighting for playoff spots square off on NFL Thursday Night Football.
Both New England and Buffalo are right in the middle of the AFC playoff picture. The Bills squeaked out a win in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day to improve to 8-3 on the season and are tied with Miami for first place in the AFC East. But the Dolphins beat Buffalo earlier this season and for now have the tiebreaker over the Bills. The Patriots are in last place in the division, but with a 6-5 record, New England is only a game out of the final wild card spot in the AFC. New England had won 3 straight before losing a tough game to Minnesota a week ago. This is the first meeting of the season between the Bills and Pats. They will face each other again in Buffalo in the final week of the regular season. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. A mind-altering parasite is changing the behavior of wolves at Yellowstone National Park. That story's online at WFLAOrlando.com. That's where you can win tickets to Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Dr. Phillips Center. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Good morning, Orlando. We're glad you're with us. Woo! There's a nip in the air as the calendar flips to December. And, gang, it's beginning to feel a little like Christmas here in Central Florida. Oh,
but a nip in the air, it's 63 degrees.
Well,
and, you know, you're singing Let It Snow at this point.
It's colder in our studios than it is outside.
Yeah, we're used to cold weather in the morning, indoors.
We have a meat locker for a studio. Anyway, you're hearing the voices of Alan and Lizzie, and Guy's in the control room as well. And Guy has an idea as we look way ahead to later on in the show. Interesting story. We want talkback recordings on this. You can do it through the iHeartRadio app. Some parents are taking a lot of heat because they have unruly small children that, you know, run away from them. And so they put them on a leash. And when they're out in public, it looks like they're walking a dog, except it's their child. Is this cruel? Is this bad parenting? Or is this good parenting in the interest of keeping a rambunctious runaway type child safe? Guy, how do you make the talk back on that for folks who just aren't connected yet to do it?
It's easy. You just go to the free iHeartRadio app. You look up WFLA Orlando. You're going to see a microphone icon. You tap that. You have 30 seconds to tell us whether you think it is a good idea or a bad idea to put a rambunctious child on a leash.
Let us know. We'll include you in the conversation through the talkback, and we'll take calls and texts later on in the show. In a moment, what is justice for the disgraced former tax collector of Seminole County, Joel Greenberg? We're going to let you be the judge. We'll all weigh in on it as well. And later in this hour, the Respect for Marriage Act is passed in the Senate. But was it really needed? And what's the real problem with this act? We'll be talking about it. So there's a lot going on right now, and there's even more than that. A lot of Trump and DeSantis news to discuss. That will be coming up as well. So buckle up and be ready to be part of the conversation, calling in at 407-916-5400, hitting the text line at 23680, and the talkback, as Guy just explained, available to you on any topic we're talking about. So it's all ahead on a busy Thursday morning here on the 50,000-watt front porch. We'll throw another log on the fire here to counter that nip in the air.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have an update on Atlanta's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning from us all at 6:08. Headlines locally for you now. Investigators turning to social media to find a suspected killer. The Orange County Sheriff's Office tweeting a video of a man who may have killed a woman and hurt a man in a shooting last week on West Sand Lake Boulevard. The male victim's not been identified, but the woman, they say, was 39-year-old Michelle Siegel Colon. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the smartest audience in talk radio. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
The disgraced former tax collector in Seminole County, Joel Greenberg, is going to be sentenced at 9 o'clock this morning by U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell. And the way it came down in the pre-sentencing hearing yesterday in a courtroom here in Orange County, it sounded to me like they're all over the lot between what the prosecutors think is justice for Joel Greenberg for these multiple crimes. And if you're not connected to this, we'll give you a little bit more on it here in a moment to get you on board, because we want to know what you think would be appropriate justice, what the sentence ought to be for Joel Greenberg. Prosecutors have 9 to 11 years in mind. The defense says, well, wait a minute. He struck a plea deal. He turned to say, you know what? If you'll give me a lighter sentence for what I've confessed to doing, I will, I'll spill the beans. And he did. And it led to some successful prosecutions, and others are in the pipeline as well. of people they might not have been able to get to had they not struck this deal with Joel Greenberg. So on that basis, the defense is saying 2 years in prison seems appropriate. But the judge, Gregory Presnell, he was sounding yesterday like he thought he's never seen anything like this with an elected public official before, and that maybe he was really going to throw the book at him big time. Just to refresh your memory here, way back in May of 2021, Greenberg pleaded guilty to 6 federal charges, including paying women for sex, an underage girl in the mix, admitting to all kinds of other things, facilitating the production of fake driver's licenses, as well as stalking and smearing a political opponent, Brian Butte, who was running against him for re-election in the Seminole County Tax Collector's Office. I mean, embezzling over $400,000 to purchase cryptocurrency, mine cryptocurrency. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Now, Joel Greenberg is 38 years old. What's appropriate justice for Joel Greenberg? Well, you know, he could face a maximum of 20 years in prison for wire fraud. That's one of the things he's been charged with and confessed to. 15 years for producing fake documents. 15 years for conspiracy. 5 years for stalking. A mandatory minimum sentence of 12 years and up to life, actually, for child sex trafficking, and 2 years for aggravated identity theft. Alan and Guy and Lizzie, I add it all up. He's 38 years old. I see 60 years plus if you put them all together, you know, and why should one cancel out the other? But I'm not saying he ought to serve a life sentence here. He didn't kill anybody, and people who kill people get out with a lot less time than that in a lot of cases in this country. So, you know, I'd like to see the judge really throw the book at him, and I'd be fine with 20 years. That's where I've come down. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, Bud, we heard in the 6 o'clock news from David R. Baer, the attorney for Brian Butte, the stalking victim, make the point that child sex trafficking alone carries a mandatory minimum sentence of at least 10 years. So if he gets 9 to 11, as prosecutors requested, he's basically getting off free for all the other crimes. I'm not sure that his plea deal should cancel all of that out.
I don't think so either. If I'm the judge, and I'd be a hanging judge if I were a judge, I'm a really strict law and order guy here. Absolutely, I would take my judicial discretion, and I'd hit him with at least 20 years. Guy and Lizzie, any thoughts on justice for Greenberg? What would satisfy you if you heard it from the judge this morning?
Well, based on what he did, who's to say when he gets out he's not going to do it again? He abused his power. He took advantage of women and children. I say just lock him up, throw away the key.
Done for the rest of his natural days. That's it. Lizzie, where are you on this with Greenberg?
I have to agree with Guy on point. He needs the max.
Yeah, I'd say at least 20 years on this, Bud.
Yeah, I think Guy and Lizzie are talking about more than that. Because if you're talking about the max, if you add them up, and I gave you what the sentences are for all of these crimes that he's confessed to here, he would never see this side of the prison bars again. Folks, you're listening to us here this morning. Members of the smartest audience in talk radio, we turn to you. What do you want to hear from the judge this morning? To you, what is justice for Joel Greenberg? 407-916-5400. Let's talk it over. We're not going to argue with you. We just want to know why you think, how you think, and the phone's the best way to do it. The text line is out there and convenient at 23680, or make your talk back on the iHeartRadio app. Good morning, Orlando, at 618. Quick update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, and then back on this topic. This headline out of Seminole County, a caterer is being sued for allegedly serving marijuana-laced food at a wedding in Seminole County earlier this year. A woman who attended the event accuses Jocelyn Bryant of lacing food with poisonous levels of cannabis. Testing of food served at the event found that the lasagna and the bread tested positive for THC, the active ingredient in marijuana. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Morning, Guy Roberts, and if you're looking for something fun, exciting, and different to do this weekend, we want you to score some tickets for this weekend's Central Florida Auto Show. There's going to be new cars, trucks, SUVs, and they're going to be filling the Orange County Convention Center for the Central Florida International Auto Show. That starts tomorrow through Sunday, courtesy of News Radio WFLA Orlando. You can enter now at our website, WFLAOrlando.com/promotions, and try to win your way in.
Sentencing is at 9:30 this morning for the disgraced former tax collector of Seminole County, Joel Greenberg. And we're asking you what you want to hear from the judge. 407-916-5400. Text line is 23680. One of our texters says, on top of old Sparky, sing it with me. That's the old electric chair. We don't execute people that way. Nobody's talking about execution here. But that's what if this if this texter were the judge this morning, it'd be pretty bad news for Joel Greenberg. But what I'm hearing from Lizzie and Guy on our team here is lock him up long enough that he never gets out. I don't want to take liberties with what you're actually thinking, but is that both your bottom lines on this for all the things he has admitted doing, despite the fact that he cut a deal for a lighter sentence by, saying, I'll tell you what I know if you'll cut me some slack on the prison time here. Is that the bottom line from Guy and Lizzie? Lock him up. He's 38 years old until he dies in prison.
Yep. That's pretty much what I'm saying.
He needs a pretty hefty sentence. And as far as that texter said, on top of old Sparky, if that was the punishment for molestation and underage and all that, how many people do you think would not do it if they knew that if they got caught? Immediate death.
Well, you know, I certainly think this is a case where Joel Greenberg needs to be made an example of. My perception of Joel Greenberg is, and I don't know him personally, is that this is an entitled rich kid who thought he could do whatever he wanted and get away with it, and if he got caught, his rich daddy would bail him out.
Good point.
You know, when Greenberg was in office, it now has come to light, he paid more than $70,000 in more than 150 separate transactions to engage in commercial sex with women. One of the women was under age 17. That's where the sex trafficking charge comes in here. That Greenberg used his own money and a credit card belonging to the Seminole tax collector's office to pay for these sex transactions here. Wow. Let's go to the phones. Ashley's on the line here. Welcome to Good Morning Orlando and our debate on what is justice for Joel Greenberg. Ashley, what do you think?
It's actually Tiffany, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I was Tiffany. Told Ashley. Is it Tiffany?
From Asheville, North Carolina.
Aha! Yes. Beautiful country up there. Welcome aboard and good morning to you.
Good morning. The man deserves life. You said he didn't kill anybody, but he killed dreams. He killed innocence. He killed futures. These girls and women are going to deal with this for the rest of their lives.
Yep. Yep. Point very, very well taken. So you're on board basically with Guy and Lizzie on our team here. Lock him up for the rest of his life.
Yes, sir. And actually, if they want to electrocute him, I'm okay with that, too.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We don't do that down here. Although I think old Sparky, was the way to do it. But that's actually not on the table, as bad as things are for Joel Greenberg. Hey, it's great to have you with us listening to us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a fabulous holiday season.
Oh, you too as well. God bless. Thank you so much. You know, the judge here is talking tough. He seemed surprised at the pre-hearing yesterday, surprised that federal prosecutors were recommending only 9 to 11 years in prison. The judge, Judge Presnell, saying he has sentenced more than 1,000 people in his 22 years as a federal judge and has never seen a recommendation like that in a case this serious.
You know, Bud, when you think about it, he was charged with 6 very serious crimes. And if you divide 6 into 9 years, the minimum requested by prosecutors, that's a year and a half for each offense. Not enough.
What kind of prosecutors are these people? What is going on with that? And the judge was asking yesterday, you know, there were other people that, you know, that Greenberg led you to. Where are the prosecutions there? Some of them have taken place. Some of them have been successful. I don't know where the Matt Gaetz connection is going on this. You know, there were those who thought his friend, old friend Matt Gaetz, the panhandle Republican conservative here who's denied any connection and has not been charged, would be sucked down by Joel Greenberg in this. That has not happened. Whether it might still happen, I don't know, because apparently some prosecutions are still in the pipeline. But the judge was talking tough yesterday, and we'll see how it all plays out in court this morning at 9:30. Alan's here with your news update.
Congress tries to avert a railway strike, and SpaceX postpones a launch. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together, and the Bloomberg Business Report in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good Thursday morning, Orlando, and a very good morning from all of us here. However you're listening to us, wherever you are, we're glad you're with us. News update, top and bottom of the hour, that we promise you with my co-host, Alan Spector. Alan, off the top here, what about this rail strike?
Well, the White House says a bill to stop a potential railway strike needs to be on the president's desk by the weekend. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg emphasized it's critical that the Senate approves a deal right away.
The U.S. transportation system has no substitute for well-functioning freight rail. This is not a time when we can afford to have a lot of maneuvers, any kind of politics introduced here.
The House voted to approve a bill yesterday that would force rail companies and their workers to accept an agreement the White House helped broker earlier this year. It's still uncertain if the bill will get derailed in the Senate, leading to a strike that could cost the economy more than $500 million in its first week alone, according to one estimate. SpaceX is looking to reschedule an historic launch that was set for today. A Falcon 9 rocket that's part of a Japanese moon mission was supposed to launch early this morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, but upon further inspection and data review, SpaceX scrubbed those plans last night. Insurance claims stemming from Hurricane Ian continue to pour in. Jay Adams of Citizens Property Insurance says they've received nearly 60,000 claims so far. That includes claims from residents of the hardest hit county.
Overall, we had less than, I want to say it was 36 or 37% of the customers in Lee County report a claim. And we believe it was specifically because the majority of that damage was so compact.
Adams says so far they've paid about 66% of those claims. The warm start to the fall will likely continue here in Florida.
We're going to call for another winter of above normal temperatures, or at least that's what's more likely to happen, with a probable range of 1 to 3 degrees above normal on average.
Robert Maleda of the National Weather Service says they're also forecasting drier than normal conditions through April, especially in north and central Florida. One of the voices of the iconic band Fleetwood Mac has died. Christine McVie passed away yesterday at the age of 79 following a brief illness, and I'll have more on Christine during Elsewhere just about 1 hour from now. WFLA News Time is 6:34. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at WFLA Orlando.
Headlines on the space program. SpaceX looking to reschedule a historic launch that was set for today, a Falcon 9 rocket that is part of a Japanese moon mission and was supposed to launch at 3:37 this morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. But upon further inspection and data review, SpaceX pulled back on that and scrubbed those plans last night. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes on the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. If you haven't downloaded our free iHeartRadio app, you should. Why? Well, because this radio station, you can download iHeartRadio app and take it everywhere you want. The artist you love, your favorite song. Oh, it's so easy. And the podcast, just download the free iHeartRadio app.
Let's talk about this Respect for Marriage Act that's getting a lot of media coverage. It had passed the House some time ago. It just passed the Senate this week, and will go back to the House for another vote, and then it'll head on to President Biden, who will sign it in a heartbeat before the Democrats lose control of the House of Representatives with the incoming new Congress just after the first of the year. This Respect for Marriage Act supposedly protects the right to same-sex and interracial marriage. You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal expert. But as I watched all of this unfold, I had a very basic question. Is the Respect for Marriage Act needed? And I have trouble saying that it is. Because I'll remind you that in 2015, the United States Supreme Court, in a landmark civil rights case ruling, legalized same-sex marriage in this country. The Supreme Court, and it was the Obergefell versus Hodges case, 2015, 7 years ago. Supreme Court ruled the fundamental right to marry is guaranteed to same-sex couples, both by the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. It was a 5-4 ruling, required all 50 states and the District of Columbia to perform and recognize the marriages of same-sex couples on the same terms and conditions as the marriages of opposite-sex couples, with all the accompanying rights and responsibilities. Why is this legislation needed? Can anybody help me on that? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. This whole thing came down because last summer, when Roe v. Wade was overturned by the conservative majority in the United States Supreme Court, conservative Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas said, you know, we also ought to be taking a look at some other rulings and precedents, like on same-sex marriage. And then all of a sudden, the Democrats got up in arms. And in the Senate, they got 12 Republicans to sign on to get them over the threshold to avoid a filibuster, and the vote was 61-36. Rubio and Scott here, our Florida senators, voted no on this because they're very, very concerned that all of the amendments that would protect religious liberties in this area of same-sex marriage for people who don't believe in that on religious grounds were all voted down here. And I am concerned about this, not only because I wonder why it's even needed given that Supreme Court ruling, but also on the religious liberties angle here. And Cardinal Tim Dolan out of New York's a smart guy, and he is really concerned about this. He says the main problem with the act is that in any context in which conflicts between religious beliefs and same-sex civil marriages arise, the act is going to be used, the Respect for Marriage Act that's going to become law here, will be used as evidence that religious believers have to surrender to the state's interest in recognizing same-sex civil marriages. He said wedding cake bakers, faith-based adoption and foster care providers, religious employers seeking to maintain their faith identity, faith-based housing agencies, you name it, are all now going to be at greater risk of discrimination under this legislation. Amendments, one of which was proposed by Rubio, our senator, that would have provided some of these protections for fundamental First Amendment religious liberties, freedom of religion in this country, were all shot down.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So I don't know why they needed the Respect in Marriage Act, and I'm really concerned on the religious liberties front. How do you feel about this? Was this something you feel good about? Was this good news or bad news that this has now passed the Senate? And I know it's going to pass the House again, and I know the president will sign it. He said so yesterday, and he will sign it quickly. Where are you on the Respect for Marriage Act? Because I've gotten some input from listeners here who wanted us to be talking about it, and we are. So we want to put you on the 50,000-watt front porch with your take on all that this I've had to say and all that the action in the United States Senate represents with the Respect for Marriage Act. Do we need it? Are you concerned on the religious liberties front? I think you certainly should be on that point. 407-916-5400. Call us and let us know what you think and why. Get on the text line at 23680. Make your talk back on the iHeartRadio app as we gather together on the 50,000-watt front porch on this timely topic. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando, at 648. Headlines now. Disney workers are rejecting what the company calls a strong contract offer. Employees rallied yesterday in Main Gate Lane in Kissimmee as their union negotiates a new deal. Disney has agreed to raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour for their employees, but not for another 5 years. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
For the smartest audience in talk radio, this is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
There's a reason we keep telling you about the free iHeartRadio app, because there's so much to do and so much entertainment on there, such as the podcast, the stuff they don't want you to know, and they have something they do want you to know. Hosts Ben, Matt, and Noel published a book covering some of the fascinating things that they still discuss on the show, so you can get the same smart, witty, and conversational style of the stuff you want to hear. That's the Stuff You They Don't Want You to Know book, and it's available wherever books are sold. So go get it.
Go get it. Good stuff. Hey, we're talking about the Senate having passed this week the Respect for Marriage Act that will be signed into law by President Biden here, you know, and it's all about codifying in law the right to be married if you are of the same sex. But, you know, the United States Supreme Court ruled on that in that case I reminded you of here way back in 2015. And off one comment by conservative Justice Clarence Thomas last summer with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, this we ought to look at some of these other precedents as well. You know, the Democrats go crazy, get a dozen Republicans to sign on in the Senate here, and they're off and running on this. And I take a look at it here, and I don't see any movement in the United States Supreme Court in that direction with the current configuration. Sam Alito says the overturning of Roe was just all about abortion rights. It's separate. It doesn't carry over to things like same-sex marriage. We haven't heard another peep out of Clarence Thomas. And all of a sudden, here we have this thing. I don't think it was needed, and I don't like that they shot down all of the Republican-initiated amendments that would protect people's religious liberties here. You know, like if you're a baker and somebody, a same-sex couple, wants you to bake a cake for their marriage, and you say, well, wait a minute, you know, my belief under my religion does not allow for same-sex marriage, and I am not going to be forced to do business and bake this cake, and other equivalent scenarios or similar scenarios, the protections are gone. And is it open season right now for lawsuits all over the place against people who are claiming their First Amendment rights to religious freedom and to not do business with people when it involves same-sex marriages, that there are other options? Go do business, get it done there. So we'll have to see. Susan is weighing in on the text line saying this current Supreme Court cannot be trusted. You mentioned, Bud, Thomas already indicated that same-sex marriage could be looked at. And look what happened to Roe. Another, that's an opinion of the court, the same-sex ruling, the landmark ruling in 2015, and it can be overturned, and on we go. So what about it, gang? Was the Respect for Marriage Act that's going to be law really needed? And do you share my concerns that the amendments that would have provided religious liberty protection were all voted down?
Yeah, I think it remains to be seen whether this particular act is going to impact religious freedoms. That certainly is a difficult question there. But on the other hand, it's nice to have protection for same-sex couples who get married in one state and can have that marriage now recognized in another state, no matter what that state tries to do legislatively regarding same-sex marriages.
So you'd say on that basis, what happened in the Senate this week is good news.
I'm okay with it.
How about it, Guy and Lizzie? Any thoughts on it?
I believe that you can marry whoever you want, and it should be recognized everywhere.
And it is under that Supreme Court ruling, which is why I question why this particular legislation was needed.
Well, as you said, you can blame Clarence Thomas for opening his yap after Roe v. Wade and saying,
"You know, it's
we're going to look at a bunch of other stuff." This guy never talks about anything.
I know. He never does.
Can you blame Democrats and whoever being concerned because all of a sudden he's, you know, opening his mouth about this?
Yeah, but I mean, you'd think that you would hear all kinds of other stuff percolating out of the Supreme Court, you know, and maybe then I would understand why those who see it another way and don't like, the conservative point of view on these things, you know, would be up in arms and all of this. But it's one little peep out of one conservative justice,
but
with no evidence support from anybody else on the court.
But, Bud, you know, when you look at the court, when this originally passed, the Obergefell decision, you know, 5-4 vote. And that was before Trump took office and his nominees were made a part of the court. So it's a very different makeup of the court now. If it comes back before the court, the outcome could be very different.
The which speaks to the comment we had from our faithful listener, Susan, here. Another texter, the Woke Marriage Act is unconstitutional. Be interesting to see whether or not there'll be a constitutional challenge to it on that basis. Another, marriage was originated by God, according to Romans 1, verses 25 to 27. What is happening now may not be acceptable to God, but it is what he said would happen. We just sent a lot of folks scurrying to their Bibles. So let's call time out while they do a little reading, and let's turn it over to Alan to preview the 7 o'clock news update for you on the Thursday edition of our show.
The former Seminole County tax collector about to find out how long he'll be behind bars, and NASCAR is about to honor its own. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Great to have you with us bright and early on the first morning of December here at 7 o'clock. An update for you now on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still an AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, sentencing for former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg is just a few hours away. More in 1 minute.
And why have we been talking more of late about DeSantis than Trump? Let me explain, and let's talk on Good Morning Orlando.
7:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg will find out this morning how long he'll spend in prison. More from Larry Spillman.
Greenberg is being sentenced at the federal courthouse in Orlando after pleading guilty to 6 charges, including child sex trafficking, ID theft, stalking, and wire fraud. During a hearing Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell hinted that he may be ready to impose a more severe sentence than what prosecutors requested, which was 9 to 11 years. Larry Spillman, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
Investigators are turning to social media to find a suspected killer. The Orange County Sheriff's Office tweeted a video of a man who may have killed a woman and hurt a man in a shooting last week on West Sand Lake Boulevard. The male victim has not been identified. The woman is identified as 39-year-old Michelle Siegel Colon. A 17-year-old accused of stabbing and beating a family member in Brevard County and then fleeing with his 15-year-old girlfriend is in custody. Yvonne Martinez of Coco Police says that yesterday morning the teen led officers on a chase into neighboring Volusia County and then back into Brevard.
They crashed in an area off of State Road 5A near U.S. 1, which is just south of the county line.
And then they took off on foot into a wooded area in Scottsmore.
They had a perimeter set up, and it took several hours. Brevard County Sheriff's Office SWAT team searched that wooded area, found the suspects, and they surrendered peacefully without incident.
The teen is facing a number of felony charges, including attempted murder. The relative is hospitalized in critical condition. On Capitol Hill, New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries is making history after being appointed to lead Democrats in the House. Jeffries says Democrats are committed to working with Republicans whenever possible.
We look forward to finding opportunities to partner with the other side of the aisle, but we will also push back against extremism whenever necessary.
Jeffries, who was elected to Congress in 2012, will be the first black party leader in either Chamber of Commerce. And NASCAR will honor its own tonight with its yearly award show.
It's always a fun and lively celebration when the biggest names in the sport gather for a walk down the red carpet at the annual NASCAR Awards. The event will be held in Nashville for the fourth straight year. The ceremony will officially crown the champions of the Cup, Xfinity, and Truck Series, and there are other trophies to give out, including Rookie of the Year awards for each series and the most popular driver trophy. Chase Elliott has taken home that award 4 years in a row, but Elliott faces stiff competition this year from fan favorite Ross Chastain. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 7:04. Ukraine plans to install a 40-foot Christmas tree in Kyiv amid Russian attacks. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can enter to win tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra at the Amway Center. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
The new form of broadcast excellence. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, noon to 3 p.m. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Hey, coming up later in the show, we're going to be asking a question, and we want you to give us your answer through the talkback feature. The question is going to be, do you think it's okay for rambunctious children to be put on a leash or not? All you have to do is go to the free iHeartRadio app, look up WFLA Orlando, and you'll see the talkback feature. Let us know what you think. Is it okay to put a rambunctious child on a leash, yes or no? And why?
Yeah, that's our executive producer, Guy Roberts, here. And the talkback is a great place for you to sound off. We'll give you a chance, too, on the phones and the text line as well. That'll be later in the show. I got to ask you, in addition to Guy, Lizzie, and Alan here with me this morning, what about that? If you got a rambunctious kid who's, you know, doesn't want to hold your hand, a little one, there are some who are taking a lot of heat from other parents who judge them negatively for putting that child on a leash. They say it's all about safety until the kid, is more obedient and stops placing himself or herself in danger. You know, I don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you, but a lot of people do.
As long as they're not making the kid walk on all fours and putting a muzzle on him, I don't have a problem with it. The question is safety. I mean, if the kid's just going to run away and not obey you and stick by you when you're in public, what else can you do at that point?
Lizzie, I have to ask you, because you admit you were pretty rebellious as a kid, what about putting a child who's rambunctious and doesn't particularly want to listen to what mom and dad say they ought to do or not do, putting them on a leash when they're out in public to keep them safe? Is it cruel or is it a good thing to do?
Oh, it's a good thing to do. I did it with our son, and whenever he was 2 years old, because that was prior to him being diagnosed with ADHD, but he would bolt. He'd be like, okay, beep, beep, I'm out of here. And all the butt whoopings did not get that boy to not run off, so I put a harness on him and the leash, and there you go.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Well, there you go. If you want to be a part of that conversation later in the show, you can actually make that happen now by going to the iHeartRadio app and making your own recording about your take on parents putting their rambunctious little ones on a leash. They're taking a lot of criticism and they're being judged negatively for it. They say, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to keep the child I love safe until they'll listen to commands. Your take on it. Welcome on the Talk Back feature. In a moment, I'm going to try to make some angry Trump supporters a little less angry with the Bud Man and the rest of the team here in some cases.
Good luck.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be successful, Alan. You think I'm pushing the envelope too hard?
Well,
here,
you know,
guys?
Give it a shot. We got to kill 10 minutes somewhere.
We're about to kill them, all 10 of them, and maybe more if we're lucky. The question on the table, why have we been talking more lately about DeSantis than Trump? Let me explain, and we'll talk, and we'll see what you think after we update Atlanta's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando, here on a Thursday morning at 7:08. Headlines. Interest rate hikes might be getting smaller than they've been of late. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell made a speech yesterday indicating that the central bank will raise interest rates next time around by a half percentage point, down a quarter percentage point from the previous hikes to combat Bidenflation. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Connections Show. Relationship radio with a twist. Thursday nights at 9. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
You know, a lot of talk shows, news talk shows like this, you know, they don't care much about what the folks who listen are thinking. They just do what they do, and for better or for worse, you either are out there and you listen or you don't listen. Nobody seems to care what you think. They take very, very limited calls. They don't use a text line, let alone a talk back. We don't like to play the game that way. Ever since I've been hosting this show, and I'm about to finish my 20th year on WFLA, you know, I've been committed to getting the audience involved, and it's always paid great dividends, you know, and it led me to dub you, who are listening to us collectively, as the smartest audience in talk radio. You know, there's a few clinkers out there now and then, but by and large, I'm endlessly impressed. And I'm impressed with your passion as well, and we want to be responsive to it. But sometimes I feel what we do or don't do is completely misunderstood to the point where a lot of you are angry for no good reason. And that just makes me uncomfortable to think you're out there in that condition. Some of our listeners are complaining that we have been talking a whole lot more lately about Ron DeSantis than we have about Donald Trump. And I can't deny that. But let me explain why that is. It's simply because Good Morning Orlando is a news talk radio show. We talk about what's making news. The first three letters in news spell what? New. Things that are new. Who's making the news? What is the news? Like it or not, DeSantis is doing things every day that make news, and I am having a hard time finding much about Trump that is worth talking about in any kind of positive way for him, even though I think in so many ways, and I've said it thousands of times before this microphone, he was awesome on policy as a president, had this country in great shape in so many ways, and to see it all melting away and being blasted out of existence by the Biden administration, it just makes me so angry. But I'm really having a hard time finding things to talk about that are positive in connection with Trump. I'm out there looking for them. This is not an anti-Trump statement. It's simply the truth, and I welcome you angry Trump fans to prove me wrong. What would I be talking about with Trump? What's going on? 16 days since he jumped in the race, and we were all over that. Played extensive cuts from his entering the presidential race speech. Talked about it for days. It's been 16 days. What's the news out of Mar-a-Lago? What's he doing? The only thing is he's still taking heat for that dinner with Kanye West and Nick Fuentes. Anti-Semites, white supremacist. You know, I mean, he's not going to do a rally for Herschel Walker in Georgia, and his people agreed that it wouldn't be a good thing. Wow. Do you really want to talk about that? I mean, the House committee now has his tax returns from the IRS. In the meantime, we talk about what's new and what's making news. And you got DeSantis out there all the time. A couple of exhibits that speak to that here just this week. DeSantis now ripping Apple for making it much harder for the people in communist China to organize protests against the government's zero COVID lockdowns.
You have people in China that are really engaged in a noble effort to protest, which is basically Leninist rule. So what is Apple doing with that? They are limiting the airdrop function of the protesters. So they are serving basically as a vassal to the Chinese Communist Party. Then on the other hand, here in the United States, what are they doing? They are trying to get Elon Musk's Twitter off the App Store potentially, which would be a huge blow for free speech.
DeSantis, by the way, is calling for Apple to be investigated by Congress. An update on that. Apparently, Apple has said, no. The route to Twitter will still be on the App Store. Okay, so that's not going to happen. But that's an update from when DeSantis spoke. And here is DeSantis reacting to returning Disney CEO Bob Iger, saying that he is sorry the company got dragged into the battle with the governor over his parental rights and education law, wrongly dubbed by gay activist critics in and out of Disney as the Don't Say Gay bill.
We didn't drag them in. They went in on their own and not only opposed the bill, they threatened to get it repealed. These are parents' rights, important policies in our state that are very popular. And so they brought this on themselves. Yeah. All we did was stand up for what's right. And yes, they're a big, powerful company. But you know what? We stand up for our folks. And I don't care what a Burbank-based California company says about our laws.
So that's my explanation of why of late we've been talking a lot more about DeSantis than Trump. Bottom line, Ron's doing stuff. Don's not. What do you think about what you've heard? Buy it? Like it? Still angry? Let's talk after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines right now. Very concerning story from the Florida Gators football team. A quarterback on the football team has been jailed on multiple child pornography charges. We're talking about 19-year-old Jalen Kitna, the son of former NFL quarterback John Kitna, arrested yesterday on 5 counts, including 2 of distribution of child exploitation material. Police received a tip that an image of child sexual abuse was posted by Kitna on a social media platform. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
Feel like chiming in? Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA.
Gotta love the sound of the Beach Boys. They are going to be taking a cruise that's called the Good Vibrations Cruise in March. And News Radio WFLA Orlando has your exclusive chance to get on board.
Yeah, not only with the Beach Boys, but with the Temptations, the Righteous Brothers, the Isley Brothers, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, and many, many more. And despite that huge lineup of artists, we've saved a cabin for you.
That's right. You and the guests will experience a 5-night vacation with nonstop music, with all those bands, they're all friends, and a specialty curated itinerary. And you're going to be sailing from Miami to Belize, then on to Mexico, and back on the big, beautiful Norwegian Pearl. You can go to WFLAOrlando.com, click on the contest page for your chance to win your way on board and prepare for all the good vibrations. Or you can book now at www.thebeachboyscruise.com.
Hey, Alan, I'm getting surprisingly little pushback, you know, from Trump supporters here who've been expressing anger that, you know, all you do is talk about DeSantis. You don't talk about Trump anymore. You're not on the Trump train anymore. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know what? The bottom line here, and you're a news guy, you know how this business works, you know, news is about what's happening. It's about what's new, okay? And my bottom line on this, Ron is doing stuff. Don is not, as in DeSantis versus Trump, which is why we're talking more about DeSantis now. That's kind of the way news talk works, right?
Yeah, but Trump has gotten his share of mentions. You know, when you meet with Kanye West and a white nationalist and Holocaust denier, that's going to put you right back in the headlines and in the discussion here on Good Morning Orlando.
Well, generic Trump supporter would say, well, all you're doing is finding the negative stuff on Trump. Why don't you ever say anything good about him and what he's doing?
Well, first I'd say, don't yell at us, okay? Oh, we're talking reasonably here. Nobody has to get upset. We're just having a conversation. That would be my first.
Well, I think you're all anti-Trump now, and you know, it's all DeSantis all the time.
All right, you want to cut off that caller, guy?
No, and on a serious note, and it's interesting, I'm getting not as much pushback as I would have thought. One texter saying, you know, talking about DeSantis more, because though Trump blazed the trail, DeSantis is driving it more efficiently as the sitting governor. But I sit here on the, you know, on the Trump department, and to make sure that I wasn't going to get bit, I went and I did extensive searching for maybe positive Trump news that I had missed. And it's been 16 days since he announced for Mar-a-Lago that he is running for another shot at the White House in 2024. And then pretty much it's been crickets. And he's get, you know, the negative news coverage and his legal troubles here. And the House now has his tax returns that are investigating. This came in from the IRS. All the heat for the dinner with West and Fuentes. And it continues. We don't talk about it every day just to bash Trump. He's not going to be doing a rally for Herschel Walker in Georgia. Wow, that's incredible to think that the most powerful person of the Republican Party wouldn't be used to try to drag him across the finish line against Warnock in this runoff election that is coming up next week. But even the Trump camp agreed might not be a good thing. Wow. Yeah.
You know, and Bud, as for you and me, I mean, we're going to report the news, and the news about DeSantis has been generally positive. The news about Trump has been negative. We're going to report both as they come in. And listeners can say, okay, well, you're biased in favor of DeSantis. We're just reporting the facts here.
Another texter still angry saying, look at what Trump actually accomplished. Wake up! !! Well, we've talked a lot about that, and I've talked a lot about that. And you're just not hearing it, or you don't care to hear it. You want me to keep on reliving what he did when he was president? He jumped in the race. Where are the rallies? Where are the major policy statements and the commentary with common sense solutions on every big problem that we're living with under the Biden administration? Where is Trump? I feel like he entered the race and disappeared, and I don't understand that. And if you're a Trump supporter, what do you say to that? Don't you want him out there and doing the stuff he does best? But I don't have a sense he's doing anything. And it's 16 days. You know, I would hope you wouldn't be as angry with me as you would be upset with Trump and his people for jumping into the race and then disappearing. I know there's a long time to go. We can debate whether he should have gotten in this soon, and we have. But he's in the race. Wouldn't you think he would have used that as a launching pad and it would be all Trump all the time and you wouldn't be able to get away from it?
Yeah,
but he's not saying anything. It's not that the media isn't covering him. This is not fake news suppression. He's not doing anything.
And Bud,
how do you explain that?
Those who say that you have not given Trump credit for his accomplishments in office have not been paying attention. You have repeatedly given Donald Trump a lot of credit for what he did in office. The problem is we're now looking ahead. We're not looking behind. We're looking ahead to 2024.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, we are. And we are waiting for you, Mr. Former President. News now with Alan.
SpaceX postpones a launch, and two Orlando Magic stars return to action. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. At the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour, the Bud Man, Alan, Guy, and Lizzie. And you're about 10 minutes away from finding out about what many believe is the next great health-related disaster facing this country. And then the special report on the triple-demic. Now, though, news with Alan and news from the Space Coast and the space program.
A SpaceX launch of a Japanese moon mission is scrubbed. A Falcon 9 rocket was scheduled to lift off early this morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, but a further inspection and data review prompted SpaceX to delay liftoff until further notice. So what is the status of the supply chain? It's in better shape now than a year ago, but a Florida expert says issues with China's COVID restrictions may keep some items in short supply this holiday season.
China's COVID lockdowns and closures haven't just sparked unheard-of protests. They've also shut down factories and caused logistics issues worldwide.
China is still closed, and nobody has a real answer on when China is looking to fully open back up.
Sechkin Oskul is a supply chain expert at the University of South Florida in Tampa. He says many companies have shifted a percentage of their manufacturing to other nations or the U.S., but he doesn't see businesses decoupling from China anytime soon. Gordon Bird, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
We're heading into the dry season, which is likely going to live up to its name here in Florida, as Erica Rodriguez reports.
Between now and mid-April, we can expect drier than normal conditions, especially in central and north Florida, and the probability of South Florida we'll see temperatures between 1 and 3 degrees higher than normal. But the National Weather Service's Robert Moyeda says don't keep your sweaters too far away.
Brief but intense cold air outbreaks can still occur even in a above normal or even in the warmer than normal winter.
He notes December of 2010 was the coldest on record for the state despite being in the similar pattern known as La Nina. Erica Rodriguez, News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
The Prince and Princess of Wales are in Boston. Prince William and Kate Middleton met with the mayor of Boston yesterday and visited the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum.
Like President Kennedy, Catherine and I firmly believe that we all have it in ourselves to achieve great things, and that human beings have the ability to lead, innovate, and problem solve.
The royal couple also took in a Celtics game. It's their first trip to the U.S. in 8 years. Their arrival comes ahead of the Earthshot Prize Award ceremony on Friday. Markelle Fultz made his season debut, and Cole Anthony returned from injury, but it wasn't enough, as the Magic lost to the Hawks 125-108 in Orlando. The Magic have dropped six in a row and begin a two-game road trip tomorrow in Cleveland. WFLA News Time is 7:34. Elsewhere. The music world is in mourning.
You can take me to paradise. And then again, you can be cold as ice. Over my head. Oh, oh, oh. But it sure feels nice.
Mourning the death of Fleetwood Mac legend Christine McVie. In a statement, McVie's family said she passed away peacefully yesterday morning after a short illness. The songwriter and keyboardist sang lead vocals on some of Fleetwood Mac's most enduring hits. Tributes to Christine McVie have been pouring in. Harry Styles shared a black and white photo of McVie on his Instagram. And on Twitter, the Eagles called her music a gift to the world. Sheryl Crow called her an icon. And Fleetwood Mac bandmate Stevie Nicks called Christine McVie her best friend in the whole world. Christine McVie was 79 and will be missed.
Oh, I love that about Stevie Nicks and her and that tribute.
Stevie Nicks posted online a handwritten letter upon learning of the death of Christine McVie and said, the first day of 1975, I met my best friend in the whole world.
Love that.
Rest in peace.
Certainly. You know, when you realize that she was 79. I think that probably comes as a surprise to a lot of people until you think about how long she and Fleetwood Mac have been around and how much time has gone by, you know?
Yeah,
79, I was surprised.
Yeah, the band goes back almost 50 years at this point, back to the early 70s. Mm. This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. An 8-part documentary series will focus on the evolution of black quarterbacks in the NFL. It'll be hosted by Michael Vick.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I couldn't resist. The series will feature Michael Vick having conversations with former and current NFL players and coaches, including Patrick Mahomes, Cam Newton, Tony Dungy, and Andy Reid. He'll also speak with celebrities, journalists, and cultural figures about their perspective of the evolving culture. There's no word on when the docuseries will be released.
That should be really interesting. There was a time when there weren't any black quarterbacks, and I remember Doug Williams, who was terrific and played for a couple of teams, including, I guess, the Bucks and Washington, and Warren Moon was a fantastic a black quarterback and one of the first. I hope they hear from both of them.
I remember leading up to the Super Bowl, which Doug Williams led the Redskins to victory in 1988. He was asked at one of the press conferences, how does it feel to be a black quarterback?
To which he said,
well, what can you say to that? The point is, it's a stupid question.
Yeah. I'm an Eagles fan, and I liked Michael Vick until I found out what he did. I will never forgive him, but he has done a good job at trying to redeem himself.
Yeah, as an Eagles fan, you know, you remember Randall Cunningham very well.
Mm-hmm.
And others as well, who were black quarterbacks and great quarterbacks.
And finally,
if you smell what the Rock is cooking!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has returned to his old stomping grounds in Hawaii to make some amends. Over the weekend, the Black Adam star visited a 7-Eleven on Oahu that he used to frequent as a teenager. In an Instagram post, he admitted he used to steal a king-sized Snickers bar on the way to the gym every day because at the time, he couldn't afford them. The Rock returned to that same 7-Eleven and bought all the Snickers bars in the store and picked up the tab for some of the shoppers as well. Dwayne Johnson left the candy bars at the counter and instructed the cashier to give them to anyone else trying to steal a Snickers.
Yay!
That's a good story. He cleared his conscience, you know, and it's pretty cool.
He's a good guy. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, and we're back with an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Florida headlines now, and another DeSantis story, but not the kind the governor would want to hear. Governor Ron DeSantis accused of breaking Florida law. The Florida Center for Government Accountability told a judge in Tallahassee yesterday that DeSantis failed to meet a deadline to hand over records related to the migrant flights to Massachusetts in September. The FCGA claiming the judge should charge DeSantis and his staff with contempt of court. We'll follow it. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
It's that time of year when we know times are getting tough, and they're getting even more tough on a few people, and we want to grant your Christmas wish. News Radio, WFLA wants to make your Christmas wish come true. And what you might need help with? Bills? Presents for the kids? Something special for someone special? We are granting Christmas wishes all across America now through December 16th. Let us grant your Christmas wish now at WFLAOrlando.com/promotions. And that's all brought to you by NetSpend.
I love it when you play Santa Claus, guy. Good job. Great stuff. Hey, saw a headline the other day on what some health officials were saying is going to be the next big health and economic nightmare. And I said to myself, what is that? What do you think that would be? It's not COVID, not exactly. They say it is what's come to be known as long COVID. People get the virus, they survive it, they seem to have recovered, but then they have lingering symptoms that may or may not ever go away. 200 different symptoms. Doctors aren't sure why so many get long COVID, but 23 million Americans have now experienced it or are still experiencing it, and they say it is producing a nearly $4 trillion drain on the economy with lost productivity and additional health care costs that people have to bear, and there's not enough money left to go around to do other things. And it goes on and on and on. What are these long COVID symptoms? And I've known several people who have one or more of these, and it's one of the reasons why I've done everything I can to avoid getting the virus, okay? And I'm not going to get into the whole deal with vaccines, which worked well for me and were highly recommended by my heart doctor, Ken Kronhaus, given the heart risks that I have. I'm not going to debate that. We've done that. But at any rate, I mean, it ranges from brain fog, where you can't think quickly or clearly anymore, to migraine headaches that won't go away, to body aches, to depression, to anxiety. Have you ever known anybody who's had long COVID? Have you had it? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Problems with organ damage to the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the skin, the brain. Problems with motor function. I know a guy who is my age and used to run 5 miles a day. And this is, he got COVID right at the beginning. He can no longer walk around the block without being completely winded. It has completely destroyed a part of his life he loved. And he's with us, but he's not the same guy. I've known other people who no longer can, you know, put a sentence together clearly. And it seems to be just long COVID. And it's a scary thing. Guy, you took a pretty good hit from COVID. I don't know whether you've ever had long COVID, but I know it took a while for you to get fully well, didn't it?
Yeah, I was, and I'm still always tired. My body always aches, but that might be just me getting old.
You're 40. I don't think it's you getting old. I don't think it's you getting old.
Well, but I don't anyway, feel the same as I used to when I was 20.
Yeah, yeah. Alan, this is the one reason why I continue to do what I can to not get COVID. I feel like if I survive it, I don't want to ever have to deal with some of this long COVID stuff. I mean, it's bad.
I'm with you, and at the risk of irritating our listeners again, I will tell you that I got my two initial shots when that first became available. Since then, I've gotten four booster shots, including the latest one that Dr. Anthony Fauci was promoting just last week.
Well, I got it because Dr. Kronhaus was promoting it. And if he tells me to jump off a cliff, I'll jump, okay?
Well, I've always
saved my life a couple of times.
I've always said all along, you know, if you're in doubt, consult your physician. And my physician has told me all along, yeah, get these shots, get these boosters.
Now let's move on to another health topic in a moment, and we're going to bring in our News Radio WFLA national correspondent Sarah Lee Kessler on the triple demic. What's this all about? After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, good Thursday morning, Orlando, at 7:48. Another check of headlines for you now. A federal appeals court is rejecting a bid by the Biden administration to revive that student loan forgiveness plan. The Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals declined to put a hold on a ruling from this month that vacated the $400 billion student debt relief program. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories are promised to you here on Good Morning Orlando.
The latest news and a place to talk about it. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
On this nightmare I've been talking about, long COVID, that some health experts say is going to be the next health and economic disaster in this country because it is so prevalent. People who get COVID and never get fully well, and all the problems that causes for them and for the country. A texter says, my son is 12 and 15 is 12 and he's 15 months in with long COVID. He's 12 years old.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
He has constant dizziness and other symptoms, brain fog, migraines, gastro issues, accelerated heart rate, and still is not able to physically go to school. So sorry. There is just too much of that around. COVID is part of our next segment here, but it's not nearly all of it. We're going to focus on what's come to be known as the triple demic. And News Radio WFLA national correspondent Sarah Lee Kessler is on this story. Alan and I are really glad you're here, and welcome to Good Morning Orlando, Sarah Lee.
Hey, Bud, thank you so much for having me on. This is such a huge issue. When we talk about the triple-demic, we are talking about RSV, the flu season starting 5 weeks early, and COVID, all surging across the country simultaneously. A triple-demic, or as one radio host I spoke to this morning, he called it the trifecta, which I really loved. But this is a big issue, especially for young children and for seniors 65 and up. We're talking about a wide range of initial symptoms that can range from coughing to sniffling to high fever, fatigue, trouble breathing. And the situation nationally is that 78% of the hospital's pediatric beds are full, and children's antibiotics, even children's Tylenol, all in short supply. So this is a pretty big issue right now.
Yeah, Sarah Lee, I might correct that other radio personality and say try Infecta at this point.
Oh, better yeah.
I like that.
Yes.
A try Infecta.
There you go. You can use that on your next report with another radio station. And speaking of RSV, we've been hearing about a possible vaccine. Where do we stand on that?
Well, that vaccine is going to be a while away. So what we need to do is to make sure that we stay healthy in other ways by getting vaccinated and boosted for COVID. And certainly flu shots are recommended for kids 6 months and up. What I wanted to let you know that is really a big headline this morning, and we're going to hear about this probably all weekend long. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association, because of what I just told you about a hospital bed surge, is calling on President Biden to declare a triple-demic emergency. And, you know, I don't know exactly what that would look like, if that's even on his radar. It's hard to know, but the thought is that a presidential emergency declaration, health experts think it could help spur production of medicine that's in short supply.
Sarah Lee, what happens if you begin to feel sick and you get some of those symptoms, the cough and the stuffy nose, and you don't know if it's just a cold? You don't know if you're heading into the flu. You don't know if you've got
right.
COVID. You don't know if you've got RSV. What are you supposed to do?
Well, that is a very good question, because the symptoms are very similar for all three things. And believe it or not, health experts say your child could be sick with all three at once.
Mm.
And I mean, somebody could just have a sniffle, but somebody could have trouble breathing. So what do you do? The first thing you do is you call your doctor. And if you have a child with fever 101, 102, lower than that, obviously you need to get the fever down. Hopefully you've got some children's Tylenol, children's Advil, something. Give the child a lukewarm bath, that kind of thing. But if your child or if you are having trouble breathing, you need to go to an ER immediately. If you are having trouble breathing, that is not something that can wait. That's something where you got to call 911.
All right. Sarah Lee Kessler, WFLA national correspondent. Thanks for updating us on the triple-demic or tri-infecta this morning.
Tri-infecta. That's what we're going with. Thanks, Bud.
We'll catch you next time around. We all appreciate everything you had to say this morning. Wow. There you go. The triple, the trifecta. Amazing. Terrific. Alan, what's coming up in the news?
Sentencing for former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg comes up this morning. And NFL playoff contenders clash on Thursday Night Football. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Delighted to have you with us in this bright and brisk first morning of December. And here at 8 o'clock, time to update you once again on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic here and now on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the former Seminole County tax collector about to find out how long he'll be behind bars. More in 1 minute.
Yep, that's Joel Greenberg, and we ask you, what is justice in this case? And also, is it okay to put your kid on a leash? All in this hour of Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg will find out this morning how long he'll spend in prison. Greenberg is being sentenced at the federal courthouse in Orlando after pleading guilty to 6 charges, including child sex trafficking, ID theft, stalking, and wire fraud. Prosecutors are requesting a sentence of 9 to 11 years in prison, but attorney David R. Baer, who represents a Greenberg stalking victim, tells Fox 35 that's not enough.
Here you have one charge, the child sex trafficking, which is supposed to have a minimum mandatory of 10 years. And if Joel in total is sentenced to 10 years, then that means he basically got away with the other crimes for free.
During a hearing yesterday, U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell hinted he may be ready to impose a more severe sentence than what prosecutors requested. A man accused of killing his mother in Osceola County is showing no remorse. The sheriff's office says that 21-year-old Matthew Sisley confessed to stabbing the woman to death on Tuesday at a home near Myrtle Oak Lane and Oak Hill Trail. Sheriff Marcos Lopez says Sisley told investigators he'd kill his mother again because, in his words, she never pushed me to be a man. Casey Anthony, the woman acquitted in Orlando in 2011 of killing her 2-year-old daughter, is speaking out about the case in a new documentary series. In 2008, Kaylee Anthony's skeletal remains were found with a blanket inside a laundry bag in a wooded area near the Anthony family's house. Casey Anthony was charged with first-degree murder and pleaded not guilty.
I've had years of therapy, and I'm trying to analyze my own behavior and explain my own behaviors. All of this is a reaction to trauma.
The series is called Casey Anthony, Where the Truth Lies. It is now streaming on Peacock. On Capitol Hill, incoming House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is honoring House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
An extraordinary speaker for the ages, who has delivered so much for so many over such a significant period of time.
Jeffries will succeed Pelosi when the new Congress convenes in January. He will be the first black party leader in either chamber of Congress. And two division rivals fighting for playoff spots square off on NFL Thursday Night Football.
Both New England and Buffalo are right in the middle of the AFC playoff picture. The Bills squeaked out a win in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day to improve to 8-3 on the season and are tied with Miami for first place in the AFC East. But the Dolphins beat Buffalo earlier this season and for now have the tiebreaker over the Bills. The Patriots are in last place in the division, but with a 6-5 record, New England is only a game out of the final wild card spot in the AFC. New England had won 3 straight before losing a tough game to Minnesota a week ago. This is the first meeting of the season between the Bills and Pats. They will face each other again in Buffalo in the final week of the regular season. I'm Eric Messersmith, Fox News.
WFLA News Time is 8:05. You can find more stories online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Thursday morning, first morning of December here on the 50,000-watt front porch. Man, I'll tell you, got the fire roaring here, pancakes and hot coffee, and we need them. It's chilly out there compared to what it has been, but we're going to warm things up with talk about some hot topics here. Joel Greenberg and what a just sentence would be. Be ready to weigh in on that at 407-916-5400. Text line 23680. Make your own recording on the talkback through the iHeartRadio app. And speaking of the talkback here, Alan, I want you to listen closely. Remember yesterday we were talking about Elon Musk, who now owns Twitter, and his commitment to having it be the preeminent free speech platform. And you had some positive things to say about that, right?
Yeah, because we were talking about the White House saying, well, we're going to keep an eye on Elon Musk. And I made the case that Twitter's a private business. And whether you're talking about the previous owners or talking about the current owner, Elon Musk, I don't think the government has any business sticking their nose in how Twitter performs.
Well, this is Dalton, one of our faithful listeners, made a talkback that came in too late for us to use it on the show yesterday. He actually addresses it to me, Alan, but this is all about you.
Yeah, bro, Alan is exactly right, is your buddy Dalton. He's exactly right. That's why I love him. He's my favorite liberal, because he's an actual liberal that believes in free speech and not a leftist fascist, which is what most liberals have become. Yeah, Elon Musk, he's doing the right thing. He's opening up free speech again. Case closed. I'll talk to you later, bud.
How about that, Alan?
Well, thanks, Dalton. You know, I always hesitate to categorize myself in any particular manner, whether it's liberal or Democrat, conservative, moderate, what have you. But I do appreciate those words from Dalton.
Now, speaking of the talkback guy, later in the hour, we're going to be talking about an uproar over some people who have unruly little children, and they put them on a leash when they're out in public and walk them around like a dog, and some folks don't like it. And we're going to talk about whether it's ever okay to do that, and we want folks to weigh in, phone, text line, and talkback, right?
Yep, through the free iHeartRadio app, just look up WFLA Orlando. You're going to see a microphone icon, and you go from there.
We got room for you on the talk back, and we'll talk about it later on. But in a moment, the sentencing of Joel Greenberg this morning, the disgraced former tax collector of Seminole County on multiple serious charges. What would a just sentence be? Let us know. We're talking about it after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando, at 8:08. Check of national headlines for you on this Thursday morning. French President Emmanuel Macron making a rare visit to Washington, D.C. today. Macron and President Biden expected to discuss the Inflation Reduction Act, which the French leader says is super aggressive for French businesses. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So you be the judge. What would be the right sentence for Joel Greenberg, the disgraced former tax collector of Seminole County? Who has confessed to serious federal charges, six of them, sex trafficking involving an underage girl, and sex crimes involving other women as well, lots of them using public money to fund this. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's interesting that the judge in the pre-sentencing hearing yesterday took issue with the prosecutors only calling for about 9 to 11 years in prison for Joel Greenberg. He says, you know, I've never seen a case like this. It's unprecedented to have somebody here as an elected public official on a crime spree like this. I've sentenced 1,000 different people in the last 22 years, and there's nothing here in a case like this that I've ever seen where the prosecutors would say in about 10 years will do it. So he's talking tough, and I wouldn't be surprised if he sentences him to a lot more prison time than that, and I would be fine with it. The defense says, no, only 2 years, because remember, Joel said, hey, listen, I'll enter a plea deal here, I'll confess to these things, and I will give you information about other people you might want to investigate, and those investigations have gone on. Some have led nowhere, some have led to prosecutions and convictions, and there may be still more to come. But, you know, because he did that and he cooperated here, we need to knock it down to about 2 years, which I think is just obscene and absurd. And I can't see the judge going that route. But when you add them all up, gang, listen to this. If you think about all the things that that he could do time for.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Greenberg case here. He faces a maximum of 20 years in prison for wire fraud, 15 years for producing fake documents, 15 years for conspiracy, 5 years for stalking and smearing a political opponent of his, Brian Butte, who was running against him for re-election. It was awful what he did to him. Mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years and up to life for child sex trafficking and 2 years for aggravated identity theft. You add them all up at 60 years plus. Joel Greenberg is 38. You know, if he were to be sentenced for all of these crimes instead of having, you know, essentially one cancel the other out, he'd be in jail for the rest of his life unless he lived to 100 and he might squeak out for a short time. So what is an appropriate sentence for Joel Greenberg? What do you think? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. I am going to predict the judge is going to give him about 20 years today, and that's about what would be fine with me. But you talk about a couple of hanging judges, that would be Lizzie and Guy in the control room. You want him to go up the river longer than that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you said he used public money. Well, that's my money that he used to fund his stuff. I'm not happy at all.
Yep. He used public money here, paid more than $70,000 in more than 150 separate transactions engaging in commercial sex with women. He used his own money and a credit card belonging to the Seminole Tax Collector's Office to pay for these transactions, according to prosecutors, and no pushback from the defense. Lizzie, what do we do with Greenberg?
Put away for life.
Alan?
I looked at what the prosecutors recommended. A sentence of 9 to 11 years. If you take the minimum 9 years, divide that by the 6 very serious offenses he pleaded guilty to, that's only a year and a half for each of those major crimes. That is not enough. I'm saying at least 20 years. I don't think, you know, the fact that he helped out prosecutors, they reached a plea deal, should mitigate completely what he did.
No, I don't either. So Judge Alan Spector puts him away for 20. Judge Bud Hedinger puts him away for 20. Judge Guy Roberts puts him away for life. Lizzie Steele puts him away for life. You're the judge. What is the right sentence for the crimes confessed to by the former Seminole County tax collector Joel Greenberg? Weigh in on this. Give us a call and let's talk about it. 407-916-5400. Text us your take at 23680. Make your own talk back on the iHeartRadio app. You be the judge on Joel Greenberg sentencing this morning at 9:30. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good Thursday morning, one and all, here at 818. Just joining us, this local headline, a caterer being sued for allegedly serving marijuana-laced food at a wedding in Seminole County earlier this year. A woman who attended the event accuses Jocelyn Bryant of lacing food with poisonous levels of cannabis. Testing of food served at the event found that the lasagna and the bread tested positive for THC, and that, of course, is the active ingredient in marijuana. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories. Count on it here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
Yeah, we all know what that sound is. That's the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And News Radio, WFLA, Orlando, and iHeartRadio want to send you and three of your friends on a VIP holiday trip to New York City to see them. And that's going to include your airfare, hotel accommodations, a special Christmas dinner, and a $1,000 holiday shopping spree, plus front row tickets to the show. That's from our friends at Wild Child Touring Incorporated. Just download and open our free iHeartRadio app and listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra Radio to become an instant finalist. You can also go to WFLAOrlando.com for another chance to enter. And we want to thank you and happy holidays and Merry Christmas from WFLA Orlando and iHeartRadio.
Fantastic opportunity there. Thanks, Guy. Appreciate that. The Bud Man and Alan and Guy and Lizzie with you until 9 o'clock. In a moment, a talkback on Joel Greenberg as folks play the judge and say what they would be happy with in terms of the sentence for all of the crimes he has confessed to here. That sentence will be administered by U.S. District Judge Gregory Presnell, and that will be at 9:30 this morning. He was talking tough yesterday, saying to the prosecutors, 9 to 11 years prison? Sounds pretty light for what this guy did, you know? He really signaled he's going higher than that. I'd be okay with him going more than 20, but I just think I don't see him doing it. I think he'll go for about 20. Guy and Lizzie, if they can't hang him, they want to put him away for life. That's pretty much where we stand here on the team on Good Morning Orlando.
Well, you know, Bud, I think the attorney for the stalking victim, Brian Butte, the political opponent of Joel Greenberg, who was victimized by him, his attorney, as we heard in the top of the hour news, made the point that there's a mandatory sentence for child sex trafficking, just one of the charges against him, of 10 years. So if he gets 9 to 11, you know, it's basically like he's getting off scot-free for all the other crimes that he has pleaded guilty to.
And I think that is an absolute great point. And if you're not familiar with what he did, Joel Greenberg, to Brian Butte, who was running against him when he tried for re-election as Seminole County tax collector here, Greenberg sent out fake letters to the school where Butte worked, claiming that Butte had engaged in sexual misconduct with a student. And it was all a lie. I mean, how low can you go? How vicious can you be? And we'll see. I think Judge Presnell is going to be a lot tougher than the prosecutors and way tougher than the defense, who think, well, he gave up all his information that led to prosecution of other people. He cut a deal here. Now, come on. The deal was to get a lighter sentence for the information that he had on others. And he did that. So 2 years sounds just about right for Joel Garris. Joel Garris, forgive me. I don't mean Joel Garris. We know who he is. It's nothing to do with him. Joel Greenberg here. By the way, some people are looking at this from a partisan perspective, and I don't see any grounds for that. We'll see what happens when the sentence comes down. You know, but saying Greenberg, if he's a Democrat, he gets 30 days. If a Republican, he's 30 years. Well, he was a Republican when he ran for office, just FYI. Everything does not break down into partisanship here. And if I thought that was in play here, I would be all over it. I have no reason to believe it is. Another texter saying, 20 years, that'd be a bargain for Joel Greenberg. Let's listen to one of our talkbackers right now. Went to the iHeartRadio app, made his own or her own recording. I haven't heard it, but here it is.
Hey, y'all want to give it tax collecting pedophiles some redneck justice? Send him over here to Tennessee, bagash. We'll take care of that. You don't ever have to worry about it again. And that's a redneck treat. Y'all have a good day.
Tennessee's the best.
That's your redneck buddy up there in Tennessee.
That's right. Hey, buddy.
The judge pretty much said that he's never seen a case like this, and he's been sentencing criminals, and he's done 1,000 of them, for 22 years. And he said he has never seen a situation, that this has no precedent, Joel Greenberg, for an elected official serving in the public interest and holding the public's trust, that he would go on a crime spree like this. And he confessed to all of these things. It's not like, you know, he's getting a bad rap along the way. He owned up to all of this. And in so doing, the plea deal was, well, we'll go a little easier on you. But 2 years the defense wants, that's much too easy. And the judge signaled yesterday in the pre-sentencing hearing that he thought the prosecution, what are you talking about, 9 to 11 years? The heck is with you guys, you know? And he also chastised the prosecutors for, you know, all these people that Joel Greenberg coughed up. Some of them have been prosecuted, some of them successfully, some of them not. But other cases haven't even moved. And he says, what are you guys doing? It's been a couple of years right now. So we'll see how tough the judge is willing to get. We appreciate you all weighing in. In the next half hour, we really want your take on a totally different topic here. Some parents who put their kids on a leash out in public are being ripped by other parents that this is cruel, inhumane, and unforgivable. And the parents say they are doing it in the name of safety for the child they love. Is it ever okay to put your little kid in a leash and get out there walking him kind of like a dog? We'll talk about it with you next half hour. In the meantime, to my co-host, Alan Spector, get us all up to date on the news.
Congress tries to avert a railway strike, and SpaceX postpones a launch. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Final half hour of the Thursday edition. Good morning, Orlando. Welcome aboard. We're glad you're with us. The Budman, Alan, Lizzie, and Guy until 9 o'clock. A little bit later on, Alan with Elsewhere, of course, always to be looked forward to. Great stuff there. And then we're going to debate whether or not it's ever okay to put your small child on a leash and walk him around in public. That's coming up. But first of all, the news, Alan, what's the deal with this rail strike we've been hearing about?
Well, here's the latest, Bud. The White House says a bill to stop a potential railway strike needs to be on the president's desk by this weekend. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg emphasized it's critical that the Senate approves a deal right now.
The U.S. transportation system has no substitute for well-functioning freight rail. This is not a time when we can afford to have a lot of maneuvers, any kind of politics introduced here.
Yesterday, the House voted to approve a bill that would force rail companies and their workers to accept an agreement the White House helped broker earlier this year. It's still uncertain if the bill will get derailed in the Senate, leading to a strike that could cost the economy more than $500 million in its first week alone, according to one estimate. SpaceX is looking to reschedule an historic launch that was set for today. A Falcon 9 rocket that's part of a Japanese moon mission was supposed to launch early this morning from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station, but upon further inspection and data review, SpaceX scrubbed those plans last night. Insurance claims stemming from Hurricane Ian continue to pour in. Jay Adams of Citizens Property Insurance says they've received nearly 60,000 claims so far. That includes claims from residents of the hardest hit county, which might be fewer than you might expect.
Overall, we had less than, I want to say it was 36 or 37% of the customers in Lee County report a claim. And we believe it was specifically because the majority of that damage was so compact.
Adam says so far they've paid about 66% of the claims. The warm start to the fall will likely continue here in Florida.
We're going to call for another winter of above normal temperatures, or at least that's what's more likely to happen, with a probable range of 1 to 3 degrees above normal on average.
Robert Moyeda of the National Weather Service says they're also forecasting drier than normal conditions through April, especially in North and Central Florida. One of the voices of the iconic band Fleetwood Mac has died. Keyboardist, singer, and songwriter Christine McVie passed away yesterday at the age of 79 following a brief illness. WFLA News Time is 8:34. Elsewhere. If you enjoyed the singing of actor Austin Butler in the movie Elvis, you'll like this news. Butler's full Elvis concerts will be restored in director Baz Luhrmann's four-hour cut of the movie. Luhrmann filmed scenes Butler shot performing as Elvis in full, just as the singer did in real life, but edited and cut-up versions were what made it into the film. Luhrmann said it was an out-of-body experience to watch Butler do the full concerts performing songs like this.
I'm only made of flesh, blood, and bone. But if you're gonna start a rumble, don't you try it out, because I'm hero. My middle name is Misery.
Austin Butler as Elvis. By the way, that movie made $284 million at the worldwide box office.
You went in a theater to see it, and you liked it. I know that. And you, Kevin, bud, you got to watch this. And I've got it on TV. I got to record it, but I've never watched it. I think I need to do that. And how good do you think he is doubling Elvis in terms of voice? I think it's pretty good.
I think it was incredible. Part of the movie, it was his voice alone. And then the end of the movie, they used some of Elvis and also some blending of Elvis's voice and Austin Butler's voice.
It's very that close? Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw the movie twice. That's how much I liked it.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, McDonald's is offering free meals for life. Starting this Monday, every order completed on the fast food chain's app for at least $1 will enter customers into a contest to win a McGold card. Three winners will get a special card that earns them free McDonald's for life.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. The promotion ends on Christmas Day.
Yay, heart attack and a card.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to how free McDonald's for life would expect one's life, impact one's life expectancy.
So I think my phone from Dr. Kronhaus, my heart doctor, is flashing red right now. I don't know if I should pick up or not. I know what he'll say. Don't you dare, bud man.
Mm-hmm. And finally, a space-aged self-cleaning toilet that was unveiled in San Francisco last week is already broken. A Paris-based company is supplying these toilets and their maintenance for free to San Francisco in exchange for the right to sell advertising on some of the city's kiosks. At the unveiling, Tyler Kralik with the design firm Smith Group Architects said the stainless steel toilet is designed to be durable. However, it seems the commode may not have withstood its self-cleaning cycle. By Friday, just 3 days after being unveiled, the toilet appears to not return to its sitting position after it self-cleaned. Needless to say, no one else was returning to a sitting position.
Sounds like you need to flush out that problem.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, and as if that wasn't enough, and by gosh, don't you think it ought to be, there's more Good Morning Orlando to come in just 2 minutes after an update of news, weather, and traffic.
Checking local headlines now, investigators are turning to social media to find a suspected killer. The Orange County Sheriff's Office has tweeted a video of a man who may have killed a woman and hurt a man in a shooting last week on West Sand Lake Boulevard. The male victim has not been identified, but the woman has, 39-year-old Michelle Siegel Cologne. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories all morning, every day for you here on Good Morning Orlando.
Hello, Biflow, Azalea Park, UCF, Goldenrod. Listen to us on FM 93.1 News Radio WFLA Orlando and everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele. And if you've not been to our website, boy, let me tell you what, you are missing out. WFLA Orlando has really cool contests. You can enter to win to see Steve Martin and Martin Short April 29th at Dr. Phillips Walt Disney World Theater.
And while you're there, you can listen to Elsewhere with Alan Spector, because sometimes you don't remember what stories he gave. You can find all the laughs and the links on Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com, and check out Alan's daily podcast while you're there.
You know, we want to make sure that this show is focused on a wide variety of topics, things in the news, and it's not all politics, not all crime, and all that sort of thing. And this is a case in point, prompted by a Facebook post that our colleague Melissa Fox put me on to here. A dad has had it with the judgmental comments and looks he gets when he has his young child, his young unruly daughter, on a leash. like a dog's leash. Not around her neck, and she's not on all fours. She's standing up, walking around, but it's a harness and a leash when she's out in public to keep control of her and to keep her safe. The dad speaking out on Facebook about why he uses a leash for his young daughter, despite all of the judgmental looks and comments he gets. Is it ever okay to have your child on a leash? Some say it's just cruel, inhumane, bad parenting, etc. Others say, in the name of safety, if you need a kid, you know, that you can't control to stay under control when you're out, yeah, it's fine. What do you think? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. We got a couple of talkbacks. You can make your own recording on that on the iHeartRadio app. But here's what the dad said in his Facebook post. He says, we're in the farmer's market. I put this kid on a leash. She is a wild, wild little kid. And this thing has already kept her out of the road, the leash, and from sticking her hand into the ice cream machine, along with keeping me sane. And he says, you know, parents with you know, well-disciplined kids who are just easy to deal with and do what you say, they don't understand what I go through. He says, if I didn't put Aspen on a leash while at an amusement park, the zoo, a crowded mall, or the farmer's market, she would be the lost child announced over the intercom. She'd be the kid popping up in every Facebook feed for wandering into a shopping center parking lot unattended. She could be the child climbing into the tiger cage. And because I cannot for the life of me keep her from moving around like that, her curiosity is incredible, and for only having a 12-inch stride, she moves faster than any Olympian. So please, we don't need the judgmental comments and dirty looks. I have my little girl on a leash because I love her, and it's the only way I can keep her safe. Let's listen to one of our talkbacks on this, one of our listeners weighing in.
Good morning. This is Susan in Castlebury responding to the child on a leash question. As with so many things, perhaps other parents should MYOB as long as the child is not being abused. I think it's a safety issue and it's up to that parent's child. So I'm all for it. I'm 62 years old and I can remember seeing that many, many years ago.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate it. Lizzie, you used a leash, right? Or yeah. One was used for you? What was the deal in your family?
No. Well, that may have helped. My parents would have put a leash on me. But I did use it on my son because he is ADHD. But whenever he was 2 years old, prior to him being diagnosed, he would dart out. And I have whooped that boy's butt so much. And so I've seen texters put on there, well, maybe if you would discipline or maybe you would spank them or whatever. But no, we do that. I'm keeping my child safe. And with the sex trafficking and kidnapping going on, I don't want someone to just run up, snatch my kid, and running off. I got a leash on them.
Yeah, I have three kids who are now adults. But when they were kids, I never had to use a leash on them because what I would do, before we went out, I would hand them each a bowling ball. And they would have to carry that. And that would slow them down.
Get out of here.
So much. They would never get very far. Do not lose that bowling ball.
See, we're talking about leashes with harnesses. We're not talking about one around the neck. It has a harness. But, yeah, I was lost as a kid in Disney one time. I know what it's like to be lost. It freaked me out. It freaked my parents out. A leash would have helped that because I was hell on wheels as a kid.
Are you sure? Are you sure Joe Dirt is...
What?
They didn't just leave you there at Disney and go home?
They might have. They should have. We do have another talk back, though, if you want to get to it.
Yeah, I'll roll it. Go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. As far as the leash on your child, it doesn't bother me one way or another what the parents do with their children. But I'll tell you one thing. That's going to be detrimental to the child's mental health. I guarantee it. Sad to say, we've seen it many times at Disney where the parents leash their children and all the other children are staring at them.
Ah, emotionally scarred.
I want a leash.
Wow. I wonder.
You mean now?
Yes, now.
That's a whole nother story.
And a muzzle.
So what about it, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas? You tell us, is it ever okay to put your kid on a leash? Let's talk, and we will, right after we update Atlanta's news, weather, and traffic one final time at 8:48. Final look at headlines right now. And the Christmas holiday season has begun in New York City with a lighting of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. Thousands gathered in Manhattan on Wednesday night to witness the tree lighting. The Norway spruce has more than 50,000 LED lights on 5 miles of wire and is topped with a 900-pound crystal star. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Use your smart speaker. Tell Alexa to play News Radio WFLA Orlando.
We're your Gator Nation station. We love the Florida Gators. We broadcast all of their football and now basketball games. And the next basketball game you'll catch right here on News Radio WFLA will be this Sunday against Stetson, pregame 1:30, 2 p.m. right here on News Radio WFLA. Go Gators, and always great to have a matchup with a couple of teams in Central Florida, and I know Stetson will put up a good fight. So now we're talking about this furor on Facebook, flack that a dad says he's been getting because he has an unruly small child, a daughter, who just will not listen to commands, and for her safety, he loves her so much, he puts her on a leash when they're out in public. So, you know, she can do a little bit of exploring, but then again, she, you know, is never going to just be able to take off. There's another story on Facebook related to this, a mom and a young son who says, you know, using the leash gave me a sense of security in a sometimes dangerous and scary world. There's nothing quite as terrifying as walking with a toddler who likes to suddenly bolt into a train platform. Onto a train platform. Those one-second mistakes could be deadly. Unwilling to risk it, unwilling to stay inside and wait until he was a better listener, well, the leash became a thing, and it was life-changing. He had room to explore, didn't need to hold his mom's hand, which he just hated to do, and all the while he was safe. He couldn't just run off when he wanted to. You know, I think we should back off on judging these parents if they're not doing anything clearly abusive to the child, you know. You raise a child, you have a right to parent them as you choose. You know, when I was a kid, we never put our kids on a leash, but there were times when they really got unruly when they were out in public. And what I would do is I would just clamp my hand, my fingers around their little wrist, and I would lock on, and that was it. And I didn't care, you know, if they were straining and they were pulling, they were kicking, they were screaming, if I had to lift them off the ground momentarily, you know, that was it. And they knew they weren't going to get away with it, and sooner or later they cooled down. I actually never thought of the leash, but I, in retrospect, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. What do we? Oh, we have another talkback gang. Is that right? We have a listener who's gone to the iHeartRadio app and commented.
Yes, we do.
Let's roll it.
Just to comment on your leash story. So I am now 50-some-odd years old, and my mother used to keep one on me because I ran away. Often I got lost in a mall. I would go in the water without her. It was for my safety. I don't think in today's world, I don't think that it's wrong because people steal children.
Appreciate the talk,
my point
backers.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could say it's almost irresponsible if a parent who has an unruly child who can't be controlled, if they don't take some action to keep them under control, whether it's a leash or something else like that.
Exactly. And it's not around their neck. There's a harness around their body.
Mm-hmm.
Text line right now is interesting. Leash, bad idea. You know, talks about parents who don't know how to control their kids. Another, what has happened to where we have to put our kids on a leash? Did you ever hear about putting kids on a leash 50 years ago? I'm 61. And I was a handful as a child, didn't listen to anybody. The choke chain was saved for the dog, but Dad had his belt and a rubber hose that kept me in line.
We have another one here that says, ever since I've had an autistic child, I agree. I used to disagree with it, but now I understand it's for safety reasons.
Yeah, you know, we just had the story this week about a study that shows Orlando is one of the least safe places for pedestrians. We've been hearing that for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, you know, walking a kid on the street, if they tend to dart off, maybe into the road, you can't take that chance.
This is true. And I just say, MYOB. I mean, it's not your kid. If you're not going to pay child support and help me take care of this kid or help babysit this kid, then you don't have a say in what I'm doing with my child.
Yeah. Raise your own kids, you know? Keep your thoughts to yourself about the way I raise my kids. And there seems to be a consensus building around that. You know, as for emotionally scarring a child by putting them on a leash and other kids look at them and all that, one of the talkbackers said that. Well, listen, the fact of the matter is, in that situation, you don't have to live with the horror of a lifetime of guilt for the child that suddenly ran out in traffic, you know, or onto the train platform and over the edge. So in the interest of safety, you know, that can be an act of love to use the leash when nothing else seems to work. It's been great talking about sentencing for Joel Greenberg, which comes up at 9:30 this morning. We'll be talking about it again tomorrow, depending on what the judge has to say. You can count on that and all the other hot topics that we have been all over this morning. We appreciate the input of the smartest audience in talk radio. For Alan and for Guy and Lizzie, the Bud Man, wishing you a great day. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
If you missed any portion of this morning's show, head to WFLAOrlando.com and check out our podcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.